This is Long Story Short from the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. I'm Ebong Udana. Can Connecticut's energy future be nuclear?
Various nuclear experts said to me, well, you know, Connecticut has deregulated utility. It might be really tougher to do there.
That's Jan Ellen Spiegel, the Connecticut Mirror's regular freelance environment and energy reporter. She's done a deep dive into the role nuclear power generation might play in Connecticut's energy future as the Trump administration throws up roadblocks to slow or stop renewable energy projects. More to come after this.
Hi, I'm Bruce Putterman, publisher of the Connecticut Mirror. By participating in the work of CT Mirror, you publish long-form journalism that explains complex policy and fiscal issues. You conduct follow-the-money investigations that explore how taxpayer dollars are spent. And you empower communities and change lives and stabilize our wobbling democracy. If you want to continue to be a part of this Connecticut journalism success story, please make a gift to CT Mirror today. Just click the red donate button on the top right of any CT Mirror page. Thank you.
Hello, Jan. Policymakers have been talking about small modular nuclear reactors as an easier, faster way for Connecticut to boost power production, especially in the wake of the Trump administration's lack of support for new wind and solar energy projects. So what prompted you to do this particular story?
What prompted me to do this particular story is, in a sense, exactly what you said, that they were not putting any emphasis on other forms of carbon-free energy. And states like Connecticut have laws on the books where they have to do a certain amount of that. So what are the alternatives here? And I wanted to look at a whole series of things to really understand what's out there, what's real, and do some reality checking on what all this actually can mean. And nuclear gets talked about, as you just pointed out, all the time. And I knew enough, I guess, to be dangerous to know that that probably wasn't quite an accurate way of looking at it. And it turns out it even more so is not quite an accurate way to look at it.
So basically, you found out that small modular nuclear reactors don't actually exist.
For the most part, no. They have been talked about for quite some time. Various sorts of newer reactor technology has been out there. And it's not so new because it's been around somewhere between 50 and 70 years. Countries, various companies have been working with this, and they really haven't got it to a point where it's going to work very well. So there's going to be a very long time period before any of these can really get built. And
also you found out that they're not that small either.
There's a category that is called advanced nuclear energy. It's kind of what I refer to as a garbage pail term, which you put a whole bunch of stuff in there. There are these supposed small modular reactors, which can be, 300, 400 megawatts. They can go smaller than that. But at this point, that's pretty big for a power plant. Then there are also these micro reactors, which can be very, very, very small. They exist even less than the small modular reactors exist and really haven't been used anywhere. But they're kind of a different sort of animal. And there's still a whole lot of action that would need to happen in the U.S. and other countries as well before these things can really come into existence. They also cost a ton of money.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about cost. We haven't had a nuclear reactor built in years in the U.S. The last one was built in Georgia. How long ago was that?
There were two reactors that were added to some existing reactors in Georgia, and those were finished in 2023 and 2024, and they are a new type of reactor, but they're a full-size reactor. They were more than double their original budget. They were 7 years late. They were built by well, they were developed by Westinghouse, which has been in the nuclear reactor business a long time. Prior to that, it had been like 30 years. A lot of it has to do with the various nuclear accidents that happened over time, and there was a lot of, hey, let's think twice about doing another one of these. But those reactors, what I was hearing from a lot of different people, and uniquely in this story, I was hearing the same things over and over again from people. Usually you get a certain amount of nuance and slightly different opinions, but I was hearing the same thing over and over again. The big reactors that were built down in Georgia, they feel are actually a really good technology. Now, whether you can take those big reactors and make them into a smaller one would remain to be seen. We don't know that yet.
Now, even in Connecticut, Millstone, the operator of Millstone, doesn't appear too keen on this. Although there was talk about having some modular reactors set up at the same site where the Millstone reactor is right now, you talked to them and they didn't seem too keen on the idea of these modular reactors. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
What I need to do first is kind of explain the pricing issue on this, because this is where their reluctance comes in. Yes, the upfront costs of building a smaller reactor are going to be less. They're smaller. They may take up less space. The front-loaded price is just going to be lower. But if you look in the long term, and I heard this over and over and over again, if you look at the price per unit of power produced, it will actually be more expensive. And it's basic economies of scale. The bigger you go, the smaller the price per unit. I mean, this goes for nuclear plants. It probably goes for toilet paper too. That is where the issue comes down for Connecticut, where we have a deregulated utility system where ratepayers will bear the costs of power development of any sort. And as I'm sure everyone is aware, there have been tremendous concern about this over the last, well, forever, but really seriously over the last 10, 15 years. So it's that deregulated system that we have that concerns the owners of Millstone, Dominion, which is looking at potentially developing a small modular reactor down in Virginia. And frankly, it was a surprise to me when I got a comment back that what the spokesperson said, we're not opposed to an SMR at Millstone, she said, but it might not have the regulatory environment for one. The upfront costs of an SMR, though less expensive than traditional nuclear, are significant enough that Connecticut's deregulated market might not support such a project. Now, I had been hearing that. I heard that from her. I heard that from the commissioner of, unsolicited, from the commissioner of the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection said the same thing. Various nuclear experts said to me, well, Connecticut has deregulated utility. It might be really tougher to do there. So this kept coming up over and over again. And that might be the issue for Connecticut, at least the way things exist right now.
Now, also, you have a situation here where Katie Dykes, the commissioner, also spoke with you about the fact that you need a lot of lead time for any of this new technology and energy generation. And there's a lot of money, so you have to plan years ahead. And she gave the example of the wind power that's run into some problems from the Trump administration this past summer, that it took quite a while to get to where we are with wind. And so this is energy that will not be available in the very near future.
Yeah, and again, it is something I heard from everybody. If you really There are two components. Number one, just planning ahead on a technological basis with that much of a lead time, the actual technology, the odds of it potentially changing are extremely high. We see that happen all the time. Think about your computer. Soon as you take it out of the box, it's dated, right? This stuff changes. The other piece of it is the need for additional power seems to be more of a now thing, not 10, 15 years in the future. And in talking to a former chair of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, Allison McFarlane, she basically said, if you're looking to address climate change or address the needs from AI, something like that, which is, presumed to use up a lot of power, she said it means you have to address it immediately, like yesterday, and none of these technologies are available. Even if they were available this very second, you're still talking 10, 15 years down the road. Everyone has said, don't even think about this stuff before sometime in the 2030s. That is not going to do a whole lot of good if you need the power now.
And I like the quote you ended your article with, which is a quote from McFarlane herself. And she says, to put all our treasure in nuclear right now is not very smart.
This is someone who ran the Nuclear Regulatory Commission for a while. But again, it's what you also hear for Pete from all kinds of people who are looking at various forms of power and what you go with. What you often hear them say is, we want an all of the above strategy. And that goes for nuclear, it goes for wind, it goes for solar, it goes for all those things. And the notion that you would go entirely nuclear is really not in keeping with that or in keeping with any kind of strategy that would really be able to keep your grid stable.
Well, thank you so much, Jan. Long Story Short is hosted by me, Ebong Udana, and produced by Molly Ingram. Harriet Jones is our editor. WSHU's Alicia Daddario and the Connecticut Mirror's Gabby DeBenedictis are our digital team. And this podcast is a collaboration between the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. We go behind the scenes at the home of public policy journalism in Connecticut. More can be found online at ctmirror.org and wshu.org. Our episodes can be found wherever you get your podcast.